Today's daf in the Masechet Shavuot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Mem. And we're holding right near the top of Omar Rabbi Elazar. So if you'll recall yesterday, the last thing that we spoke about was in the Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, about whether we need a difference of a full shtei ma'ot between the plaintiff and the defendant in these cases, there was hidden another machlokas, namely, how to understand the cases in the Mishnah, where are we looking at them as values when we talk about a certain amount, or are we talking about actual metals? And therefore, in a case where you've got somebody responding with a pruta, which is made of copper, to someone who is suing for silver, which is a ma'ah, you would be talking about two different things. And therefore, you'd be talking past each other, and there would be no chiv of the shvua of the dayanim, because mashahoda lo tano, umashitano lo hodalo. And that involved a hidden machlokas about whether, if there were two separate items and you're made on one of them, whether you would be high of the one, because you're basically talking about sharing the same overall ta'ana and hoda'ah. And that was Shmuel's time. So we got into a discussion about how to understand the entire Mishnah whenever it discusses a particular coin or a particular amount. Is it talking about the thing as a dafka, as Shmuel Tainas, or is it talking about value as Rav Tainas? Now, the last thing that we learned yesterday was that since the Mishnah says that if somebody insists on a dinar zahav, and the other person says, I only have a dinar kesev of yours, or I only have a peruta of copper of yours, that the din is that you're chayev, because what's the difference? Whenever you say a particular coin value, that's just value, it seems to be saying. And hakol min madbea is achasein. Wherever you mention a coinage value, that's the way people refer to value. So then when they say a dinar zav, they mean the value of a dinar zav. It makes no difference to them whether it was given in silver or if it was given in copper or whatever it was given in. That's how much you owe me, the dinar zav. That's what the Mishnah seems to be saying. And if that's the case, that's what those words mean, says Rav, then the only way to understand the whole Mishnah is, like I'm saying, that we're always dealing with values and we're not dealing with metals unless you specifically say a weight, a litra of zahav, a litra of kesef. Fine, there we're talking about the weight of a certain amount of that metal, but that's not the issue in all of the cases where a coin is mentioned. See that I'm right, says Rav. So today we got up to Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Elazar wants to explain the Mishnah as making perfectly good sense, even according to Shmuel. I'm assuming, Gavi, you didn't mean to raise your hand, right? You just touched the... Am I right, or did you want to say something? Okay. So Omar Rabbi Elazar... You know what? It works out perfectly well according to Shmuel, because it's talking about over here where Shetano Bidinar Matbeot. He didn't say he wanted a gold coin. It's true that he said a gold coin and the other coin is a silver coin or copper coin. But the point of the Mishnah is that coins are always the same type of thing, not because they refer to values, but because a coin is a coin is a coin. And therefore, to talk about the different types of coins is not the equivalent of talking about different types of grains, because there's an overall structure to monetary units where over there, the main focus of the person is on a coin. So even if you meant a gold coin, and the guy says, I owe you a silver coin, it's all coins. Not because we're talking about values, but because we're talking about the same set of items. And the meaning of the Mishnah is All matbeot are one set. That's what the Mishnah is saying. Not like Rav said, all matbeot are just references to values. No, no, no. I insist that we're talking about actual metals, except that when you mention a coin, there you just mean you can give me that dinner zav if you want by returning 25 dinner kesev, same thing to me, or by returning me 4,800 prutas for that matter, which is the value of a dinner zav, but whatever it is, that's the point.
Very interesting. The word in Greek for a shared cultural bond that we're all part of the same world is koine.
There must certainly be. That's tiva. In the Gemara, tiva is koine, and it means the entire structure of the government and society, right? So therefore, what's the Chiddush then? So why does the Mishnah tell me the Pruta? What's the difference? The Chiddush of the Mishnah is that even a Pruta is considered to be a matbea, because you would have thought that a Pruta usually does not have any minted face on it, because even when it's minted, since it's copper, it gets rubbed out almost immediately. And people use prutot without having anything on the face of the pruta. So they look like slugs, but they're immediately recognized as having been minted prutot, and they're still prutot. So you might think, well, already then it's not part of the set of all coins. No, Kamashbuan, that it is. And I actually think that we can be medayik in the Mishnah, like me, and not like Rav, that we are talking about the item, the dafka, and not the shoven, the ekonomi. Why? Because the Mishnah has to justify its psak about the pruta and the tracer and so on. Diktanisha kol min matbea achat. Now, if we were really talking about shoven, what are you telling me? There's a set of all coins. According to Rav, that's a nonsensical statement. There's no set of all coins. We always talk about shoveh. That's what Rav said. Rav said we're looking at values. Well, so then obviously we don't need a set of all coins. We need to be talking about values. The very fact that you start talking to me about items and say, well, they're still the same kind of item, is 100% proof to me. So therefore, it would seem that the Mishnah is working out dafka like Shmuel, and what you thought was a raya to Rav is actually a raya against Rav. How's Rav going to deal with that, Virav? Ah, good point, says Rav. What it must mean in the Mishnah is that even a pruta is considered to be the same as any other amount in being able to trigger the chiv of a shvua, because I would have thought there's four different pshatim in the Rishonim about what this is supposed to mean. Rashi's approach apparently is that the Chiddush is that when you're talking about the difference between a dinner zahav and a pruta, that you might have thought that where you're talking about close to 5,000 times more, that's 4,800 prutas in a dinner zahav. So if you're talking about close to 5,000 times more of a difference between us, that you do not take that to the point of a shvua. I mean, that's crazy. That if the person is made on a pruta, and that's considered to be a moda b'miktsas, that's not a moda b'miktsas. It's just a joke. A guy says 5,000, and the other guy says 1. All right, come on. In other words, you're denying that you owe me anything. No. I'm admitting that I owe you one pruta. What do you mean? Okay, so then if that's the case, it's going to be mechayev v'mishvua. V'Rabbi Elazar. Now, let me ask you something. Does this mean that since Rabbi Elazar has gone out of his way to work out that the Mishnah should go according to Shmuel in this diak over here, shakol matbea achas, whereas according to Rav, hakol din matbea achas, does that mean that he holds like Shmuel in the Mishnah? So then that means that the Resha Nami Kishmul Svirle, because he said that when we were talking about a dinner Zahav versus a dinner Kesev, we're referring literally to the specific Dafka coin, and even so, they're all considered to be the same set of things. And why did he have to do that? It must be because he holds like Shmuel, and that the Mishnah in general is talking about Dafka and not about Shava. No, absolutely not necessarily so. He may hold that the Sefer that said those words, Akol min matbea achad, there's no way to avoid the implication that it's giving us a concept of Dafka, but that doesn't mean he holds that every mention of anything in the Mishnah is a reference to the Dafka. He may have agreed that in the beginning, the Reisha could be like Rav, that over there we're talking about Shava, or not. I mean, he's not putting himself in between that argument. The beginning of the Mishnah, says Rabbi Elazar, it leaves open the question of whether we're talking about Shava or Dafka, which leaves open the question of whether the difference is like Rav or the difference is like Shmuel in terms of the case. I'm just pointing out that this concept of coinage, there the Mishnah is making a point of saying that people do mean a coin, but it doesn't matter what type of coin. Okay, so getting back now to the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, and we'll see if we can bring more proofs to or against either of the shitas. Let's take a look now at this braita, which seems to be backing Rav. So it says in the braita like this. A guy says, Dinar zahav zahuv li biyadecha. I've got a zahav zahuv dinar. Now, that could only mean a minted coin. So he's saying, I'm talking about a real mint krugerrand, right? So to speak. That's what you would call a dinar zahuv. So I want to make it very clear. I'm talking about an actual coin. And the guy says, Ein lecha biyadi ela dinar kesef. So then you would be chayev, because, as we said, all are considered to be coins, and that's what's important. Now, the only reason why we understand this to mean an actual coin is because he had to say that extra word, zahav zahuv. What would have been if he hadn't said zahav zahuv? So then the Braita makes it very clear that then the understanding of the word dinar zahav would have simply meant the value of a dinar zahav. So if he had just said dinar zahav, even though he would still have to swear, obviously, but there he swears because we never spoke about any particular metal. Masha Einkein, in the opening case where he says a dinar zahav zahuv, there he has to swear only because of the fact that the Mishnah has considered all coins to be the same. So if it means that if it wouldn't have specified the specific Zahuv, the implication would mean that he was talking about the Shava, which is what Rav says. And you see that the Braita says, if you want to talk about a coin, you're going to have to stipulate that it's Zahav Zahuv, not just dinar zahav, which would simply have meant the value of a dinar zahav. Ravashi, no. That's not the point over here. The Braisa is trying to say that when someone says dinar zahav, he is the same as saying dinar zahuv zahuv, zahav zahuv. It's as if he said it, because that's what it's telling me. Once you mention a special coin, you're referring not to the Shava, you're referring to the actual coin. Mashma that he holds like Shmuel. Okay, let's see if we could bring another Braisa for Rav. So according to Rav, the difference between the two has to be a difference of Shtei Ma'ot. So let's take a look at this Braisa. Tani Rebbe Chiya, in this Braisa as a Siyula Rav, this seems to be a Raya to Rav. Case is, Selali biyadecha. You owe me a sela. A sela is for dinner. And remember, a ma'ah is a sixth of a dinner, which means that he is talking about a large claim of 24 ma'ah. And the guy says in response, no, all that you are still owed by me is just a sela less 2 ma'ot kesef. So, a sela less 2 ma'ot means that the difference between us now is 2 ma'ot, because a sela was the equivalent of the four dinners originally, and this guy said, I've paid you everything. 22 ma'ot I've paid you. You're left with all, only 2 ma'ot that I still owe you. Chayev. But what if he would have said, I owe you only 1 ma'ot, then he's pater. Okay, now that is completely like Rav. Because, I mean, according to Shmuel, even a pruta between us would be sufficient. And here it's saying even a ma between us is insufficient. So this seems to be actually going like Rav. Now, it's not 100% a raya, because it may represent the third shita, because it's saying the difference between 1 ma'a and less than 1 ma'a. We don't know a shita like that. We only know the Rav of 2 ma'ot between us and Shmuel Apruta between us. So we're not going to be able to bring a raya absolutely over here to Rav, because maybe this is a tana that holds a third shita. Now, let me make something very clear. The discussion that we're having over here is about moda b'miktsas, right? Now, there's other ways that you could become chayev. Like, for instance, there was no hoda b'miktsas, but you only have one witness, right? So where you have one witness, then the bezdin is mechayev, the defendant, to swear. And that's another form of a shvuas hadayanim. Well, says Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, as Shmuel explains it, our Mishnah is totally focused on the type of shvua which comes from the ta'ana of, let's say, of a lender and a partial admission of a love. That's the only case we're talking about. But if you're talking about a case of the ta'ana of the lender that's backed by one witness, ha'adat ed echad, and the guy who supposedly borrowed the money is denying the whole thing, over there there's no din of shtei ma'ot, afilu lo ta'ano ala pruta chayev. There for sure, if all that you denied was the debt of a pruta, and that was the whole ta'ana, you'd still have to swear. Why is that? Because remember the mekor in the Torah for needing to swear if there's one witness. Lo yakum eid echad be'ish l'chol avon l'chol chatat. Ah, where is there no right to bring a single witness for any type of ovain, for any type of chata? So it's a type of penalty that we're talking about. But as far as the actual chiv to be mechayiv of a shvua, kamu l'shvua, it would be mechayiv you to take a shvua. And the Braita points out, Tanya, wherever two witnesses would be mechayiv money, the one witness is mechayiv a shvua. Well, obviously, two witnesses could be mechayiv you a pruta. A pruta is money. It's the same shielacha din pruta kedin me'amana. So if two witnesses would be mechayiv you one pruta, then that would mean if the difference between you and you come to court and you demand one penny, that is not considered to be a frivolous suit. And in that event, if the person denies it and you have a single witness, he would have to swear. So all of this discussion about moda b'miktsas is only about moda b'miktsas, not that entirely other parsha of Shvuat HaDayanim, which consists of an eid echad. Furthermore, said Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, this was the case of Shmuel that we saw before. Here is the mekor of Shmuel Shita in this. Ta'anochitim usa'orim v'hodalo be'achad v'yam chayav. That is exactly what Shmuel said before, as we mentioned. And here is Reb Nachman quoting him. Omer lo Rebbe Yitzchak, excellent, good. Yasher v'chein omar Rebbe Yochanan. Rebbe Yochanan said the same thing, that if it was two different items and the defendant was made about one out of the two, that is considered to be hoda'a mimina ta'ana. Hey, how come you said Rebbe Yochanan? Does that mean, I mean, usually when we have a psak that was from Shmuel and we have Rebbe Yochanan, it goes together. Either it goes together with Reish Lakish, and we say, Rebbe Yochanan, Reish Lakish, da Amre Tarvayhu. Well, we didn't say that over here. And you just left out Reish Lakish. You said, yeah, that's what Rebbe Yochanan says. I mean, Rebbe Yochanan and Reish Lakish are like, they go together like love and marriage, love and marriage. You can't just leave out Reish Lakish when you're talking about Rabbi Yochanan. So it's mashma that Michlal de Poligale Reish Lakish. Are you trying to say that Reish Lakish disagreed? Well, some say, actually, Reish Lakish always used to wait for Rabbi Yochanan to finish his opinion, because in those days, they actually respected people. So Reish Lakish waited until Rabbi Yochanan was going to finish the drasha, and therefore, he didn't say anything. Even if he disagreed, he would wait. And he was currently shatikle. He was still being quiet, listening to Rabbi Yochanan, giving the whole shir. Then, before Rabbi Yochanan finished, Rabbi Yitzchak left the Beis HaMedrash before Reish Lakish actually said anything. So he didn't know, so he left Reish Lakish out. Or some say, Mishtahavi Shatile, Reish Lakish was actually drinking something, and therefore he couldn't say anything, even though if he did disagree, he didn't want to choke on his water. I mean, it's not everyone that has a barnea, they're forcing you to choke every few moments. So he was drinking, and he wouldn't say anything. So, and Rabbi Yitzchak didn't know in the end because he had left. Anyway, so we don't know what Reish Lakish has. So can we prove Shmuel from the Mishnah? Because, look, it says in the Mishnah, Ta'ano chitim v'hodalo b'sa'orim patur. And Reb Gamliel is Mechayev. Now, it appears that the Mishnah is only talking about a case where they are totally speaking past each other. He was Ta'ano chitim, he was modalo b'sa'orim. But what would be the din if it was both chitim and sa'orim? And he was modalo b'echad mehem? Then its mashri would have been chayev, because otherwise that would be the bigger chiddush to say. That even if it was chitim v'sa'orim, and he was modal for chitim, that it still would be masha ta'ano lo hodalo mal shodalo. So apparently Shmuel is right, because the Mishnah says so. No, no, no. That's not the point. It would have been exactly the same if it would have been Ta'ano chitim v'sa'orim. It would still be talking past each other. You know why we didn't want to talk about that case? Because we were introducing Rebbe Gamliel. And Rebbe Gamliel is saying that even if you were not Meida Mimina Ta'ana, you'd be Chayev. And if we had said that case, we would have watered down Rebbe Gamliel. Because we would have thought, oh, all that Rebbe Gamliel is arguing about is whether chitim plus sa'orin and your mod on one of them, whether that's considered to be mimina taina. We want to bring out the fact that Rebbe Gamliel literally doesn't believe in the whole idea of mimina taina. So of course we have to say this case. You would have wrecked the whole Mishnah if you would have said it the other way, for heaven's sakes. How can you be medayik from that? Okay. How about this? I got a good one for you. What does the Mishnah say at the end, where it wants to talk about that din of, you know, karka, no, you're not nishba la karka, but if you were to know both kalim and karka, if he's made of a kalim and he was kofra on the karka, or he was moda on the karka and it was kofra on the kalim, you're potter. Why are you potter? You're potter because we're talking about a shvua on land. We don't make a shvua on land, right? Okay, fine. How about if he was meida to own half of the land? You'd still be potter because that would have been a shvua that is completely focused on the issue of the land that's between us. But let's say you were meida to some of the kalim, then you would have to swear even about the karka. Why? Because, as the Mishnah says at the end, that if you have a shvua on the chosim she'en lem achrayut, they can be mizakikin with a gilgal shvua to make you swear even on the karka. Now, let's look at that Mishnah. It seems to be saying that the only reason that you're potter in the first cases that we brought, where you would be moda mixas to the karka, or to the entirety of the karka, the reason is because we're talking about kalim v'karka. And since, whenever it involves karka, karka is not a bat shvua, therefore you're potter. But let's imagine the same case, and instead of karka, let's put in the word a different kalim. So the guy says to him, I lent you my food processor and my blender, right? So now if the guy would be meida to the food processor, then he would be chayev. Or let's make it even totally different. I lent you my drill and my toaster oven. Now, those things are not related in any way. Mashma, that if it would be kalim v'kalim, where the guy admitted to one and denied the other, it's the same case as the kalim v'karkot, but it doesn't enter into the issue of ein nishban al hakarkaot. Mashma, that you would be chayev if you agreed to the toaster oven, but you disagreed about the drill. So you see that you have to actually swear, which is what Shmuel said, in the case of chitim v'seorim, and you only admitted to one of them. That's the same case as the kalim v'kalim. Not necessarily. It's very possible that even if it were that case of kalim, two different types of kalim and you're moda to one, or two different types, chitim and seorim, and you're moda to one. You know why the Mishnah wanted to talk about this case of kalim v'karkaot? Because it wanted to tell you the incredible chiddush that if you're meida and miktas kalim, that you're also chayev on the karka. Wow, that is a chiddush, that there are cases of Gilgal Shvua for karka. That's why it had to say that case. Nothing to do with avoiding the issue of drills and toaster ovens. Oh, really now? The incredible chiddush, is it? Yes, indeed. Let's take out the trumpets. That there's a halacha that the nechasim sheyesh lemachrayut, if you have the chasim sheyesh lemachrayut, that's the big chiddush. Ha! That's no chiddush. My kamash malan. Zokikin? Zokikin is the topic of a mishnah that we had way back when we were learning Masechet Kiddushim. We were talking about all the dinim over there about Zokikin. And so we said over there, Zokikin et anechosib sheyesh lemachrayut lishavaleyem. Well, why do we need this Mishnah? We don't need this Mishnah. We already know it from another Mishnah. The main point of this Mishnah is actually to teach me that Shmuel is right, and to stress the difference between karka v'kalim versus kalim v'kalim. That's the thing that deserves the trumpets, not the business about zokikin, which is old-fashioned stuff that I know about for a long time. So therefore, let us trumpet Shmuel specifically and not worry about this particular thing about zokikin. No, says the Gemara. Actually, the big chiddush over here is really the zokikin. Think about it. Zokikin is a din of shvuas, isn't it? One type of shvua can be migalgal on you the chiyuv of a different shvua. Why is that a din in kiddushin, for heaven's sakes? The only reason we mentioned it in kiddushin is because over there we were talking about kinyonim. So we mentioned that you could be kena metaltalin agav karka. So we pointed out the interesting thing, that there's also a reverse thing where the metaltalin can be mezakeh karka in terms of shvua. Okay, but that's certainly not the main place where you're going to look up the din of shvuas, right? The main place to look up the din of shvuas, like I heard last, was mezakeh shvuas. So this is the Mishnah that is really coming to tell me that special halacha of zokikin. The other thing over there, that was in Kiddushin Agav Grora Nazba. That was just brought in once we were talking about the other din of Zokikin. Now, Reb Chiya Bar Abba Amar Reb Yochanan, he says the opposite, that actually what Reb Yochanan said was not like Shmuel. Ta'anochi timu seorim v'hodaloba achas me'am pater. Huh? A minute ago you quoted to me Reb Yitzchak, and Rabbi Yitzchak said to Reb Nachman, Yasher v'chein omar Reb Yochanan. You said that the din is that Reb Yochanan said exactly the same thing, and that he actually is mechayev you like Shmuel. Well, you're right. It's a contradiction, but remember, we often have different Amoroyim reporting different halachas alibed Reb Yochanan. So this is Amoroyinu alibed Reb Yochanan, two different shitas. Okay, now, let's see whether we can disprove Rabbi Chiya, who claims that according to Rabbi Yochanan, the din would be that you're putter in the case of chitim v'seorin, and you're owing him only one. Halon, are you losing concentration in any way? I didn't think that would be possible. Okay, now listen, guys. The next cases that we're bringing are a word-for-word repetition of what we just had before in trying to prove whether Shmuel was right or wrong. We're going to use those exact proofs to try to prove whether Rabbi Yochanan, if he holds like Shmuel, is right or wrong, you see? So this is all completely repetitive and very quickly to be gone through again. So let's ask the Gemara, actually, can we bring a raya from the Mishnah? So you see that the Mishnah only wanted to talk about a case of Ta'anochitim v'hodala sa'orim. But what if he would have been Ta'anochitim plus sa'orim? And he would have been hodala be'achad me'am, apparently would have been chayev. Same proof we just brought. No, the same answer. Of course that's not true. Maybe even Ta'anochitim u'sa'orim he would have been potter. The reason the Mishnah avoided that case is because it was introducing Rabbi Gamliel, who says that I don't hold it even has to be mimina ta'ana at all. And therefore, we took an extreme case that even if it was chitim and a box of screws, it would still be considered, according to Rabbi Gamliel, to be mechayev shvua because he doesn't believe in the whole din of mimina ta'ana. And now the next proof that we brought before also, when we were trying to talk about Shmuel directly, and here we're just talking about Shmuel indirectly because we're talking about Rabbi Yochanan, the version of Rabbi Yochanan, either for or against Shmuel, Tashma. It says in the Mishnah Tano, Kalim v'karkaot v'hoda b'kelim v'kafar b'karkaot, or he was moded in the karkaot and he was kafar b'kelim, he's potter. And even if he was made of b'miktas hakarka, he's potter. But if he was made of for some of the kalin, then he's chayev even to swear on the karka. So you see from here that the only reason that you're potter in the first cases is because we're dealing with kalim and karka, and there's no din of shvua because karka lav bat shvua. But suppose we were talking about your drill and your toaster oven, and it was kalim the kalim similar. If two different types, like Kalim the Karkaod, you would be Chayev. No. Hu adin afilu Kalim the Kalim. Even in the case of your drill and your toaster oven, you would also have been Potter, maybe. So why did we take on the case of Karka? Because the Mishnah wanted to teach me that fabulous Chiddush, that if you're made of a mixas Kalim, you're even Chayev to swear on the Karkaod. And that is a massive Chiddush. What? What's the big massive Kiddush? Maika Mashmalan. You're claiming Zokikin, the din of Gilgal Shvua? That's the massive Kiddush. It's a Mishnah in Kiddushin. Zokikin et anechasim sheyesh lem achrayut lisham aleihem. So, therefore, what's the real point of the Mishnah? The real point of the Mishnah is to tell me that, like Shmuel said, which is the opposite of Rav Chiya's claim of Rabbi Yochanan. Nah, not necessarily. The big Kiddush of the Mishnah is Zokikin. And even though it says that in Kiddushin, it needs the main point to say it is here. Because Ha Ikar and the Mishnah in Kiddushin only brought it up as Gra Ra'agav Gra Nazba. Okay, let's see if we get another Raya from a Braita against the version of Rav Chiya in Rabbi Yochanan. Eisve Rabbi Abba bar Mamal Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Somebody says, you owe me a shor. And the other guy says, no, I owe you a seh. Or vice versa. He said a seh and he was murder the shor. So whatever. Tano shor, do seh, seh, odalo shor. The point is that you're potter because it's not kamina tana. But suppose you said both a shor and a seh, and he was moda in one of them, you would be chayev. Now, this is exactly what Shmuel said. And Therefore, it proves that Rabbi Yochanan would never have said the opposite, and therefore Rabbi Chiya's version of Rabbi Yochanan, who said that you're potter in such a case, is clearly wrong because Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't have contradicted this braita. Said Rabbi Chiya, no. This braita is going according to Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel holds that it doesn't have to be Mimina Ta'ana at all. What? Rabbi Gamliel? According to Rabbi Gamliel, even in the first case, where it was a sev versus a shor, straight out, Rabbi Gamliel holds, we don't care about the problem of it's not being Mimina Ta'ana. And even if they're talking past each other, there is a chiyuv. So how can you tell me it's Rabbi Gamliel? What's wrong with you? Sorry, I didn't mean that. I meant this is the case in the Mishnah of Admon. Remember the case of Admon, where we were talking about 29 bottles of beer on the wall, 29 bottles of beer. And then the question was whether the bottles of beer are including a claim for the bottles separately from the beer. And if the guy was moda to the bottles, then that would be not the same as the Tainu. If he's moda to the bottles, but says that he had already drinking up the beer, that the din would be that it's two different things. Admon claimed, it seems to me that it's included. Yes, the Admon says that, but that doesn't mean that Rabbi Yochanan would say it. That's what I heard from Rabbi Yochanan. And don't think I'm just spouting something to push you off. I know for a fact that Rabbi Yochanan said this was like Admon. Lo dechuyem atchinan lecha. I'm not just pushing you off over here. It's Talmud Aruchu bipiv shel Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan used to teach this in Shir. That he would tell us this braita, and he would say, Hamani, who's the author of this braita, it is Admon, and only Admon. So that explains why I could still claim that Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Shmuel. Amar Rav Anan Amar Shmuel, Ta'anol Chitim, V'kodam V'hoda Lo B'sori. Now, what about a case where the guy had put in a claim for wheat, and he was still presenting his claim, and the guy gets up, the defendant gets up, and he jumps up, and before the Tovea could say that I was also, I'd given you Sa'orim, the guy jumps up and swears, wheat, I owe you Sa'orim, don't owe you any wheat. So now, what he's done by jumping up and not allowing the other guy to put forward a claim is that he's prevented the chalos of a chiyav. Because now, it's talking past each other. You say I owe you wheat, I swear I owe you barley, right? So the Braita says, Shmuel says, if it looks like this guy is a ma'arim, meaning he obviously had just jumped up in order to get out of the chiyav of a moed b'miktzas by admitting the din of the se'orim, so then we don't believe him, and we view his shvua as having been catalyzed by his realization that the guy was about to say that I owe you se'orim as well. So in order to make it that it shouldn't be, I made a b'miktzas, he jumped up before. But if it's b'mitkaven, if it looks to be somebody who's really serious here, and he's focusing on what the guy said. The guy had not made it clear that he's about to say Sorin, and he gave a serious response, so then he's butter. Because there was, remember, if the Shvua comes before the Tviyah, that was an early din that we learned, there is no halacha amoda b'miktzas. There has to be first the Tviyah, and then the Shvua in response to the Tviyah. The Omer Ravanan Omer Shmuel, another thing that Shmuel said, is that this whole halacha of minimum values is only where we're talking about value, but not where we're talking about particular kelim. So let's say a guy says, I lent you two sewing needles. Each one of those needles was worth very little. And he says, I moda that I owe you one sewing needle, not two. Over there, you would be chayev. Why? Because as we said before, if you're talking about kelim, then by definition, kelim are a davar chashuv. The very fact that it's usable for a particular thing means that its value, its monetary value, is not the issue. It's, I need a needle. That's the point. And in fact, Halafichach, that's why it says specifically in the pasuk kelim, as opposed to just kesev, lema shehen. They were yotze to teach that no matter what they're worth, you're still going to have to make a shvuah on a moda b'miktzas. Omar Rav Papa ta'ano kelim upruta, v'hoda b'kelim v'kafar b'pruta patur. But if you're hoda b'pruta v'kafar b'kelim, then you would be chayef. So how do we understand that? Why would that be so? Well, one aspect of what, I don't know who Meshke Mashke is. It looks like Mashke looks like a Barnea who's making noise and who is not muted, probably conducting another tour in the middle of Shir here. So one of these statements of Rav Papa is actually working like Rav, and one of them is based on understanding with what Shmuel said. And not as a contradiction. Let me explain what I mean. One aspect of it is like Rav, who said that there is a minimal amount, and that is the kfira of the ta'ana needs to be shtei kesef, because he says over here that if he was kafar b'pruta, your potter. Why? Because it's not the amount that Rav says is the minimal of kvirat ha-ta'ana, and the kvirat ha-ta'ana has to be shtei kesef. So that's very consistent with what Rav said. But the other aspect that he mentioned, which is that if you were kafar the kelim, that you would be chayev, even if they're not worth what Rav said you need, that actually makes sense according to this other thing that Shmuel said. Namely, that if you're ta'ano chitim v'sa'orim, v'hodalo be'achas mehem, you're chayev. So Rav Papa said the same thing is true over here. If you admit to the pruta, but you are kafir in the kelim, the kfira in the kelim does not require a shir. And it's not shalomi minatana, because we never saw that Rav and Shmuel argue about the question of whether chitim v'sa'orim v'kafir b'echad mehem. Rav didn't say anything about that point. So what I do know is that Shmuel says it. It's very possible that Rav agrees with it as well, you know. Mana li biyotcha. Now, a guy claims, you have a mana, and the other one says, ein lecha biyadi at all. So it says in the Mishnah, in that case you would be patur, because there's no motive that makes us. So Rav Nachman says you should know that nowadays, because the din is actually that the chiyuv of a shvuas heset is nowadays. It was at Reb Nachman's time that the chiyuv of shvuas heset was a takana of the Beis Din. So Reb Nachman says, but in these cases where the person denies anything, we still give a shvua derabanan that is called a shvuas heset. Either the lashon of heset means to put on him, which is something that is lying on something. Or heset could also, some of the Rishonim learn, heset means to be mesit. We sick it on him, meaning that we put him into a position where he's going to have to respond by sicking a shvu on him. But why do we make him swear? Because, you know, chazakah in adam tevelin kin yishlo alav. It's very rare for a person to walk into court and to demand something in a courtroom that he just made up out of whole cloth. There's got to be an indication here that there is actually something going on. And because of that, since it's a chazaka in adam tovea, elim ken yesh lo alav, so that means that there must be some real tvi'a. And so, min rabbanan, we want to deal with that tvi'a. Wait a minute. Adon Rabba, remember we have that other chazaka? That ein adam me'iz panav bifnei ba'al chovo. People don't just, right in front of a guy that lent you money, you're going to say, nah, never happened, I don't owe you a penny. That's also not normal. So when a guy says, I don't owe you a penny, I mean, look, if the guy says, oh, I remember I owe you, yeah, you're right, but I think it was only less than that, right? So over there, that's not a chutzpah. And in fact, what we assume is, if you remember the sugya, what we assume is that he actually fully intends to pay him back, but he doesn't have enough money now. So, and he's embarrassed. So he tells the guy, you know what, let me pay you what I remember. So because of that, we assume in another week he's going to come. Oh, yeah, you're right. I owe you the whole thing. And he's going to pay him the rest of it. So in order to not allow someone to wiggle his way into a delaying of the proceedings, and we're going to take his TV set and sell it if necessary. So because of that, the terrorist said, put a shvua on him to take away his wiggle room. But in general, we have a klal that a person would not have the chutzpah to openly, in his face, completely deny that the guy made him a loan. So if we have that chazaka, so then we should not make a new shvua called a shvua seset. Well, no, remember, we're not assuming that he's totally denying it in order not to pay. Maybe he's totally denying it in order to buy himself another day to get the thing together, because Savai's thinking to himself, do I have to admit to the guy that I, even though I promised to pay him by this date, I don't have the money. Adahavali, I'm going to push him off until I get the money together, and then I'll say, oh, of course, I remember, and then I'll pay him. Uparanale. And we know that that is a valid concern. Teda, because Omer Vidi Baravin Omer of Chista, all along, this is a practical halacha. Somebody denied taking a loan completely. And Einim show up and they say he did take that loan. Even though he had lied, we do not consider him to be a ganav, because we take for granted that he fully intended to pay it back, and he was only putting it off. And therefore, he's still kosher la'edut. If he denies having a pikadon, and because that's in his rishus, and Adam come along and they say, we saw that pikadon in his living room, then he's puzzled for a shvua, for Adam, because he lied about a shvua. Rav Chaviva takes the din of Rav Nachman on the later Chalik in the mission of the Seifa, where a guy says, you owe me a mana. And the person says, absolutely, I do. And Lamocha Marlo Tnaeli, and the guy says, I gave it back to you yesterday, that he's Potter. And it's there that Reb Nachman says, we need to be mashbien oto shvuas heset. Now, if you say that Reb Nachman's din of a shvuat heset was said on the Reisha, so kol shekein, it's going to apply to the Seifa. Because if you have to swear shvuas heset where there was not even any hint that there really was money that was owed, kol shekein, if he already said, yes, there is money, and all he's doing is claiming he paid it, over there for sure he should have to say heset, because we already know that there was money that was owed. Whereas Rav Chaviva, he said that Reb Nachman said you need to shvuas hesed on the Seifa, maybe only in the Seifa. Why? Because we know for a fact that ikadrara de mamona, there was definitely money owed. Mashenken, in the first case that we thought, where over there the guy denied, I don't know what you're talking about, I don't owe you a penny, where we don't have any drara de mamona, we don't have a given that there was money that was there, enofinami. We never saw that Reb Nachman would have been Mechayev Shvuat Hesed. So depending on whether Reb Nachman was said about the Reisha or about the Seifa, is a different din of where we apply Shvuat Hesed. Do we apply it in any case where a person is Kofer Bakol, or do we apply it only in cases where there was initially a Drora de Mamina? Whew! Wow. Okay. We've got some really beautiful, serious issues here. We've discussed unbelievable dinim, drora de mamona, the nude issue of shvuas heset, the question of whether the Mishnah is talking about shove or the Mishnah is talking about davka. Once again, the question of whether if you're fighting about A plus B, and it's a question of B and not A, or A and not B, is that or is that not considered to be a mode of b'miktzas? This, it turned out, was we had two different approaches to it, between one approach in Rabbi Yochanan and another approach in Rabbi Yochanan, and the difference between Shmuel, and we talked about Admon in cases of containers, whether they're included as the same thing. We had the question about whether coinage is considered to be a set of things, even if you normally hold Dafka, it's still the same Dafka, or whether the whole point of coinage is only because it represents Shava. And of course, we had our original issue of how much is between us. And we learned today that that's only where we're talking about Shava. And that would mean any type of Shava Kesef, except for Kalim. So if you're arguing about things that are Kalim, there's no minimum limit because, as we saw before, Kalim are ipso facto Choshev, even if you're just talking about sewing needles. But if it's other things that are Shava, there we have the question of the minimal amount between Rav's approach and Shmuel's approach. Whew, a lot of different elements that all need to be taken into consideration in this marvelously exciting perek of Shvu'ata Dayanim. And we also talked about the difference of the Shiurim applying Bedavka to the Moda B'Mikzas case and not to the Eid Echad case, which is also Mechayev Shvua, but nonetheless not in the same way. Whew, okay, that was marvelous. What a bunch of exciting things. Richie is overflowing with excitement today on all he's going to be spending the rest of the day just mumbling all of these dinim to himself to make sure that not a single one of them is forgotten.
I gotta add another couple of gigabytes to the.
Richie will be sending you in 5 terabytes of additional memory. You should be able to be on top of everything, no problem. Bezrat Hashem. Alon, what is that picture in Trevor's image? I cannot figure out what that piece sticking out of the side is with what seems to be, is that just a towel holder or something? It looks like there's some weird thing poking in. What is that? It's been driving me nuts yesterday and today. Trevor has substituted for his beautiful face some kind of strange mechanism. Do you know what that is? No, you're muted.
Looks like the bottom of a shelf or a unit.
Cabinet.
I don't know.
It looks like it's sitting underneath. It's got a cabinet and there's a towel there. Yeah.
So he's got his camera on the floor?
I think he's put a cabinet on a cabinet.
Okay. Trevor, we'd rather have you any day. Take care then, everyone. Have a wonderful day.